Good morning. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Dr. Hassan Jalisi, who is president of the Maryland Muslim Council. And Dr. Jalisi is here this morning to talk to us about Muslims in Maryland and how we can all improve our community. So, Dr. Jalisi, welcome.
Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Yeah, and
good morning to your listeners, too. Thank you for inviting me today.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I'm going to call you Hassan. I mean, this is crazy. We've been working together on various things over the years, and I'm very glad that you could come. First of all, for our listeners who are unfamiliar and who didn't hear our show that we did about a year or so ago or something, could you tell us a little bit about the Muslim Council?
A Maryland Muslim Council is the representative organization of Muslims living in the state of Maryland. We have affiliates and chapters in all the counties of Maryland. And then from there, we elect our boards for each county council, or in case of Baltimore City, the city council. And then two members from each location or each county are elected to go up into the Maryland Muslim Council's board.
Great. How long has the council been in existence?
Since 2003. So we've completed the 10 years of our existence.
Huh. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I know you folks do an awful lot in the community. That is for certain. Where is the membership from?
The membership is from the entire state of Maryland. Anyone who wishes to be a part of the effort of the organization first becomes a member of their local chapter, which is the county council, and then they become part of Maryland Muslim Council. We don't have a paid membership in the sense that it is an umbrella organization of the councils which exist in different counties. Mm-hmm. But everyone is open to help and support, whether they are of Muslim faith or not.
Great, great. And do you have separate chapters?
Yes. In every county, we have separate chapters. Mm-hmm. And we work as an umbrella organization for those chapters, helping them coordinate their efforts. And then there are some programs we do on a statewide level. And so it's been a very pleasant experience.
Great, great. What kind of activities does the council do?
It's basically an advocacy group. Mm-hmm. So we discuss the issues which are important for the Muslim community. The local issues are dealt with by the local chapters or the local affiliates. And then anything which is of statewide concern or of statewide issue is then taken up by the state body, which is the Maryland Muslim Council.
Great, great. And what usually are typical activities by the locals?
So there are two or three major activities which we do every year. One is the legislative night. We do an event in Annapolis where all the senators and delegates and the governor and the administration is invited. And we discuss the issues which are important for the Muslims. Whether they are supporting them or opposing them, that depends on the bills which are before the assembly in a given year. So we call it the legislative night. It's an event to introduce the Muslim community to how the legislative branch works, and vice versa, to introduce the delegates and the senators to the community's concerns. We also do an annual dinner where the community is invited. And then we do other smaller events, which is we collect food for the different shelters in Maryland. We also help run some homeless shelters.
Really?
The community runs some free medical clinics in different counties. So that, you know, and then we do Ramadan event, which is the holy month for the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
We do iftar dinners. Iftar means the breaking of the fast at the end of the day. As most of your listeners would know, Ramadan requires Muslims to fast from sunup to sundown with no food and water. So at the end of the day, we have what's called iftar. And so we invite people from different faiths to come and join us for the breaking of the fast. And it helps us, it's part of our interfaith effort. It helps us to understand, to intermingle and mix and open our homes and open our mosques for people who would not otherwise be coming. And so it's a good event. People enjoy it.
That's great. That's great. Time. That's wonderful. The how can our listeners get more information?
We have a website called mdmuslimcouncil.org, which has the information about the organization and also about any upcoming events. They're also able to register themselves to a mailing list, mm-hmm. so that way they're kept updated to what's happening.
Uh-huh. Great. And telephone?
Yeah, everything is there, but the phone number is 410-988-2929. And the email address is info@mdmuslimcouncil.org.
Okay, great. So that's mdmuslimcouncil.org.
Yes.
410-988-2929. And info@mdmuslimcouncil.
mdmuslimcouncil.org.
Great, great. Thank you. Let's talk about the Muslim community in Baltimore. Currently, what's the state of Muslims in Maryland? What would you say?
It's a growing, expanding community. Mm-hmm. You find Muslims doing everything from working on a gas station to your physician or an engineer. It's a wide range, wide spectrum of people of different ethnicities. Some of them are immigrants, and some of them have lived in Baltimore for generations.
Yeah.
But it is, it's based on the understanding and the belief that we all have to coexist. Religion is important for us, but so is the understanding that we are Americans first and foremost, and that we love the country as much as anyone else, so we have to work together for the improvement, progress, and benefit of our fellow Americans.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm telling you that in my decades of working in the community, it is such a welcome thing to have groups that are so positive participating, such as the Muslim Council. I've worked with your colleague Akbar on a number of Good Neighbor Weeks in Baltimore County and various kinds of poster contests and ways to help pull the community together, help remind us all that we are in it together. And it's something that we can't say enough of.
Right, and we can't have enough of.
Yes, very true. Very
true. In this world where we live in, good people need to band together as much as the bad people can. You know, it surprises me that how easy it is for somebody who's robbing a bank to find five people to help him rob a bank in this day and age, but it's more difficult for us to find five people who would help us go and work at a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
And we can make this world a better place till we change that. Hesitation should be doing something evil and bad. Hesitation should never be in doing something good.
Right.
I was talking to a friend of mine a few months ago. And both of us are very active in doing something for the homeless population in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and all over the state of Maryland. And both of us were surprised how we get resistance from good people. Good people who are people of faith. When we try to do something for the homeless, as little as allowing them to shower in our respective places of worship, people feel like, why? Well, why not? These are people who live in your neighborhood, and they've just fallen in hard times, and they would be back on their feet in the future, and we want to keep them be productive members. And that's the feeling, that's the thinking which we need to all promote in our respective communities, that whatever the faith of a person is, they're still a human being, and we need to do whatever we can to help them. So that is why when we help the homeless shelters or the homeless shelters which our community members run, they cater for everyone, whether they're Muslims or Christians or Jewish or whatever their faith may be, because a homeless person needs help. Same goes for the free medical clinics. Whoever wants to come and seek healthcare is always welcome. And I know all the churches have the same process and procedure, and so do all the temples and other places, and that's what we need to keep doing.
Yeah, yeah, that's very well said. Very well said. Yeah, I've always believed that the basis of any action that we should ever do in this life really is respect. We need to respect the other.
Yes.
No matter how different, no matter how similar, no matter how threatening, no matter how whatever, we need to respect the other person as a person, as a child of God. And once we do that, then it becomes a lot easier to understand that they have needs, and understand that if we have been blessed with benefits, we don't get our benefits for free.
Yeah,
we get our benefits with the understanding that we're going to help folks as we were helped.
Most definitely. And I also feel like as far as the Muslim community is concerned, sometimes we get treated or viewed with the perception of what is happening overseas.
Yeah.
And I tell my own community members and my own board members and community members in general and anyone else I meet that you should connect with the person based on an open mind. And what is your experience with them? Not because of what you've read or seen in the newspapers, because a lot of times what appears in the general media is skewed by the politics of that region or of that area. And as educated people, which most of us are, and intelligent people, which all of us are, we should never make assumptions based on somebody else's experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Could you give us about how many Muslims are in Maryland now? Roughly.
It is, you know, that there's no official record or census doesn't count as based on our faith. But in the last census, there was a breakdown by ethnicity. So I feel like, and I see that there are probably 50% Muslims in Maryland who are from other countries, immigrants, mm-hmm. maybe immigrants themselves are first generation or second generation. And then 50% are local Marylanders who've converted to Islam. So that 50%, which is immigrants, are counted in the census. And that 50% is about 5% of the Maryland population. Hmm. As shown in the official census. Hmm. But Muslims have been in this country since 1178.
Wow. Wow.
And or before, there was what's called a Sung document, which describes the voyages of Muslim sailors from other parts of the world to what the document calls Mulan Pai, which is the Chinese name for what is now United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 1178. And then in Maryland, we've been at least since 1732, where the record shows that a slave named Ayub ibn Suleiman was released by James Oglethorpe. And James Oglethorpe, as you know, was the founder of the state of Georgia. So that was 1732. So that's been long history.
Yes, yes. And it's also, we're out of time. I want you to come back, Hassan.
Okay.
We're out of time. My goodness, we just got started. Anyway, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Hassan Jalisi, who's president, of the Maryland Muslim Council, for being our guest today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Hassan. Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.